pastor, and I said, you know, could you ever believe in your wildest dreams that I would get to speak in front of a group of elite cattlemen like this at the Range Beef Cow Symposium? And she just rolled over in her sleep and kind of mumbled to me, and she said, honey, you've never been in any of my wildest dreams. So, it's the same lady. I was giving another talk, and when she called up just before I was going on, she knows I always get pretty nervous, and she said, Troy, just don't try to be charming, witty, or intellectual. Just be yourself. So, with that, my topic today is supposed to be creating value with your feeder calves. And I had asked myself, too, why am I up here? I'm certainly not an expert in that area. In fact, I think I could maybe write a book on how to decrease value. I've done a lot of things along those lines. But from a standpoint with where I'm also involved with a company called Allied Genetic Resources. It was actually a group of seed stock producers that have gotten together. There's about 30 of us around the country. And with their primary goal of trying to help their customers capture more value from their calves. And so with that, I've spent quite a bit of time trying to look at this problem and see how we can go about creating value. And really, I think there's two parts to this topic, and one, of course, is creating value in the first place. And when I look at that, I'm going to tell you some things that aren't very exciting. You know, Clint said the cutting-edge topic of adding value, and the reason I say it's not very exciting is because it really and truly is pretty simple. We need to put the best genetics that we can into these cattle. We have to put the best management that we can, nutrition-wise, and then we need to market them as effectively as possible. And to me, that's where it really starts to get tough, is how do we go about capturing that value? And so I'll spend a little time talking about some of these other things, but I'm going to spend more actually talking about trying to capture that value. And I'm sure some of the other speakers have alluded to and stuff, the one fun part is it's not going to be hard for us as a cow-calf producer to garner some high prices the next several years. I took this quote from a conference here 3 or 4 weeks ago that Tom Brink was at with Five Rivers, and he said, in all the years I've never seen the market dynamics like this where demand actually exceeds supply, it may be a once-in-a-lifetime occurrence. But, you know, with those higher prices, it is a challenge when you start to talk about capturing value a little bit, too. And you can see the red line there represents fed cattle slaughter, and the blue bars are fed cattle capacity. And you can see we're in a situation where there's a tremendous amount of overcapacity in the industry, which is good news for us as cow-calf producers from a price standpoint. But it also means that there's a lot of competition for not that many calves. And I think it's been alluded to in some other talks, too. That actually becomes a challenge when it comes to capturing value. Simply, they have to own enough calves. They're going to buy these lower-end calves, and they're going to have to pay for those calves to acquire them. And so these better cattle, a lot of times, are going to be caught subsidizing them. But, you know, just from an overall standpoint, it's pretty exciting when you look forward to. I was amazed that over the next 10 years, they estimate in Asia that 1 billion consumers will join the ranks of the middle class. And when you look at the U.S. with a population of 300 and some million, you know, that's roughly about 3 United States markets coming into the beef market here just over the next 10 years. So we are in a seller's market. We're going to have good prices. From that standpoint, it's going to be easy to sell. We've got a lot of willing buyers out there. But, you know, the question is, are we going to see price spreads increase? And we really haven't up to this point. I believe we are going to see, as we move through this cycle and start to see numbers expand again and the industry gets rationalized a little bit from a supply and demand standpoint, that we will start to see these price spreads widen out again. And the reason I say that is just that the value differences between the good and bad cattle have literally exploded. I remember when I was in grad school and I was part of the National Beef Quality Audit, and we were all excited about the numbers where we talked about between the high and low within a set of cattle that there was over a $300 value difference in those calves. I can tell you right now, talking to a lot of the feed yard guys, we're seeing pens of cattle that were placed at the same time on the same market, going out on the same market, and we're seeing the average value differences in that pen approach $300. And the reason we're seeing some of that, and I took some liberties with the numbers, and I can't even remember 45 cent cost of gains hardly, but it wasn't that long ago when you go back and look, back in the pre-ethanol days. But if we put 800 pounds on a calf, that was about $360 with a 45 cent cost of gain. You look at today, we put that same weight on, and we're seeing some cost of gains in some of these feed yards projected at $1.20. So I did it to make it look, you know, pretty extreme. But you can see there, with just a 10% increase in feed efficiency, that difference has went from $36 per head advantage to over $96 per head. Just with the change in carcass prices too, going from a dollar to today's level where we're probably at $1.80 or more, that's increased from 30 to 56. So just by increasing carcass weight and by increasing feed efficiency 10%, holding all things equal in today's market, you know, we're seeing a value difference of about $30 per head on a five-weight steer, $30 per hundredweight, excuse me. Of course, with that also comes more risk. When I was at Cattle Facts, we used to use the old rule of thumb that prices from the high to low would vary about 21% in a year. When you see we go from $80 to $110 fat market, that increases the amount of risk per head by about $75 per head, which is pretty dramatic. And that tells you, too, that our customers and people down the supply chain are going to look for ways to mitigate that risk. Uniformity and consistency are going to become very, very big components in that. And the second point there is just when the rules change, the goals change, too. And I was really excited here, you know, 10 or 15 years ago as we started to move into grid marketing and we were seeing the kind of value differences in cattle. And that kind of revolutionized the industry, sparked the whole carcass movement, us selecting for improved carcass merit, et cetera. And while we all read the reports of that, you know, set of calves that brought $96 per head, you know, premium and those sort of things, if you talk to the average feed yard guy, you know, they were pretty happy if they could get a $20 to $30 premium on those cattle selling them on a grid basis. But that's significant dollars, and it changed the industry. And that's still going to be with us. We're going to continue to see those kind of things. In fact, I think we're going to see those targets continue to tighten down and see more price differentiation, so there's going to be more potential marketing on these grids. But we're also seeing a shift now, not only away from grid pricing, but in addition to grid pricing is what they call these program cattle. And they're really not necessarily cattle that are superior in any way. They just simply are cattle that fit these programs, whether it be for retailers, HRI, whatever the case may be, where they just fit into those various programs, or the export market as well. And what's amazing to me about these program type cattle is we're seeing those premiums run somewhere around $100 per head. So there is, you know, when you factor in all the additional value from input costs, the move to program cattle, there's just a lot of opportunity. There's a lot of value differences out there in the cattle. So if we do a good job, there's a potential to capture that. And certainly, you know, one of the dynamics we've seen is this market is changing and we have to remain pretty flexible. There's a lot of difference between $3 corn and a $5 choice select spread and $7 corn and a $20 choice select spread in terms of what kind of cattle you want and maybe which kind of cattle are the most optimum. And, you know, we saw that choice select spread go from $4 to $19 in just a 60, 70 day window here this fall. This market has changed pretty dramatically here several times on us. So it's a real simple equation. You know, it isn't rocket science, I think, though, as an industry, we spend a lot of time focusing on the cost side of things and lowering our cost. That's always going to remain crucial. And then I think we've focused on the value side, or more likely we've focused on the price side of things.